Mark chapter 10, verses 13 through 22. This is the reading of God's word. And they were bringing children to him so that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked them. But when Jesus saw this, he was indignant and said to them, "Permit the children to come to me. Do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. Truly I say to you, whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all." And he took them in his arms and began blessing them, laying his hands on them. As he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up to him and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" And Jesus said to him, "Why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. You know the commandments: do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother." And he said to him, "Teacher, I have kept all these things from my youth up." Looking at him, Jesus felt a love for him and said to him, "One thing you lack. Go and sell all you possess and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come, follow me." But at these words he was saddened, and he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. Amen. Please be seated. Let us pray, asking God to bless the preaching of His Word. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this precious time of hearing of Your Word. Oh Father, like a deer pants for water, we long to hear Your Word. And we are so thankful, knowing that You will fill us. Oh, Father, grant us, all of us, an ear to hear Your voice through Your word. As we hear Your voice through Your word, let our faith grow. Just like the first creation, everything happened because of Your word. And through Your word, You have recreated us. And through Your word, You will mature us all the way to the maturity of our Lord Jesus Christ. That when Your work is done in Your church, in Your people will be like Jesus Christ. Let us hear Your word, for that is the only way that You have told us You will accomplish this. Bless us and receive all the glory. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. We have two stories in our passage. From verses 13 through 16, we see the story of Jesus blessing little children. And from verses 17 through 22, we see Jesus talking to the rich young ruler. If you read the whole book of Mark, you will see that from chapter 8, Jesus Christ has been teaching about the life of His people, how they are invited to His life of suffering and death. And here again, from these two stories in our passage, we will learn about the life of the citizens of the kingdom of God. Verse 13, "And they were bringing children to him so that he might touch them, but the disciples rebuked them." People are bringing children to Jesus to be blessed by him, but the disciples rebuked them. These disciples argued in chapter 9 who is the greatest among them. And they had prevented someone from casting out demons in Jesus' name just because he was not following them. The disciples still had the value system of this sinful world, and here they prevented children to come to Jesus. Children are, at the time, one of the most disregarded people. At 13 years old, they had to go through a ritual that confirmed their status as a valuable citizens, but until then, they were pretty much ignored. Children were not that important in the society. Yes, even to the disciples of Jesus, these children were just nuisance. But Jesus was indignant, meaning he was angry about what his disciples were doing. And according to verse 16, it says, "And he took them in his arms and began blessing them, laying his hands on them." And Jesus says in verses 14 and 15, "Permit the children to come to me. Do not hinder them. Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all." Now, as you already know, Jesus is not saying that the children are innocent and that they deserve to go to heaven. The Bible clearly teaches that ever since Adam and Eve sinned, all of men are conceived in sin. We saw this at the retreat also. Psalm 51 verse 5, "Behold, I was brought forth in iniquity, and in sin my mother conceived me." Even little children are sinners who deserve the eternal punishment of God. They too are saved only through Jesus' blood and righteousness. Then what does Jesus mean that the kingdom of God belongs to such as children? What he means is this: the kingdom of God belongs to those who receive it like children would. Children. They're very simple-minded in a good way. When their parents give them presents, those little kids, they receive those presents with joy. They do not think about what they did to deserve this present. They don't question, why is, you know, my mom giving this? They do not think about what they have to do to repay the presents. They just receive them with joy. But we adults are different. When we receive presents from others, those presents actually become a burden to us. We will not feel easy until we ourselves have given presents to those who gave presents to us. We don't like just receiving something as if we're beggars. We want to receive something as rewards or prizes for our works and our own merits. We want to be recognized for our superior works and efforts. But Jesus says, "Whoever does not receive the kingdom of God like a child will not enter it at all." Brothers and sisters, our salvation, our eternal life, the kingdom of God are God's gift, not a compensation for our own good works. Ephesians chapter 2 verse 8 and 9, "For by grace you have been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves, it is the gift of God, not as a result of works, so that no one may boast." We must receive it like a child. No, this is not saying that we just don't think and just believe whatever is told. When we say like a child, we don't mean like a child in a sense that you don't even think about what's going on and just do whatever you are told to do. No, that's not what we're saying. We must be like a child in that we do not trust ourselves. We do not negotiate as if receiving salvation is a business transaction. We must receive it as a gift from our God, the Father in heaven. We did not do anything to deserve it. We cannot do anything to deserve it. We must receive it like a child. Otherwise, we will not enter it at all, Jesus says. Now then, second story, what is it about? In the second story then, we see an example of who is not like a child. And that story begins in verse 17 through 22. Verse 17. As he was setting out on a journey, a man ran up to him and knelt before him and asked him, "Good teacher, what shall I do to inherit eternal life?" See, those children came up to Jesus too. And I don't think any of those children asked Jesus, "What shall I have to do to enter heaven?" But this guy, he comes to Jesus and knelt and asked this question, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life?" According to verse 22, he is a rich man. And according to Matthew chapter 19, verse 20, he is a young man. And according to Luke chapter 18, verse 18, he is a ruler. See, this is good. You could see from this that you need to read the whole Bible to understand fully. God does not tell you everything in just one part of the Bible. So in other Gospels, you could go and read about the same story, but there have different informations. So we'll put it all together. This man is a young man, he's a rich man, and he's a ruler. And our passage tells us that he, from his youth, he kept God's commandments very well. In other words, he is socially and religiously a respectable person. All this he has accomplished at a young age. Very commendable indeed. In today's society and church, he will be well received, definitely. He has it all. A high status in society, economic wealth, a religious fervor. This guy has it all. A model person according to the world. A model person according to today's church. He asked Jesus, "What shall I do to inherit eternal life? What shall I do so that I would enter heaven?" He wants to enter heaven through his merit of good works as a reward of good life that he thinks he lived. But Bible is very clear. No one is able to enter heaven through his or her good works. Romans chapter 3, verse 10 and 12. There is none righteous, not even one. There is none who understands. There is none who seeks for God. All have turned aside. Together they have become useless. There is none who does good. There is not even one. But this young man, rich young man, a young rich ruler, doesn't get it. Jesus rebukes this rich young ruler, verse 18, why do you call me good? No one is good except God alone. By this, Jesus speaks of himself as God. You are calling me good, but you don't know me as your God. So why do you call me good? Only God is good. Do you understand what Jesus is saying? But understand, this young rich ruler's focus is all about himself. What do I have to do? And even in his answers to Jesus' question, it's all about what he did, all about himself, full of himself. So what is Jesus doing? Focus is not this young ruler himself, but focus must be on God. And Jesus leads him to that focus. Jesus says to him, verse 19, you know the commandments, do not murder, do not commit adultery, do not steal, do not bear false witness, do not defraud, honor your father and mother. And in verse 20, this young rich ruler says to Jesus, teacher, I have kept all these things from my youth up. Yes, he did try his best to obey God from his youth. And in our standard, meaning worldly standard, he did obey all of God's commandments. Very arrogant. And yet, look at what we see in verse 21. Looking at him, Jesus felt a love for him and said to him, one thing you lack, go and sell all your possession, all you possess, and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven, and come follow me. And in verse 22, but at these words he was saddened, and he went away grieving, for he was one who owned much property. What is Jesus saying? Is he telling you and me to go out and sell everything we have and give it to poor right now? Right after you hear my sermon, you should go out and sell all your stuff and give it to poor? No, that is not what Jesus is saying. Jesus is teaching the life of the citizens of his kingdom. He, in fact, saying to his people, be like me, follow me. The way of our Lord Jesus Christ, what kind of way is it? Way of suffering and death. Jesus is inviting his people to his life. In same book, chapter 8, verse 34 and 35, Jesus says, if anyone wishes to come after me, he must deny himself and take up his cross and follow me. For whoever wishes to save his life will lose it, But whoever loses his life for my sake and the gospel's will save it. Do you see it? What is God asking this young rich ruler to do? To love Jesus more than anything and everything in his life. Giving up one's life for Jesus Christ. It's not about what you do. It's about how much do you love your God. Do you love your God more than anything? That's the question. Oh yes, this young ruler could say to everybody, I love God. Look at how I live. I obey his commandments. I've been obeying his commandments ever since I was young. But Jesus helped him to truly see himself as he is. You say you love your God, but there's something else you love more. And this young rich ruler had to face the fact that he loves something other, more than God. Oh yeah, up to a point he would do everything for God. But not beyond that. Not beyond that. Because actually, you know, I would do all those for God because of that thing that I cannot forsake. Because my false understanding of God is that if I obey him in the way that I'm doing, he will give me that thing that I'm really seeking. In chapter 9 of the same book, Mark, Jesus says something very strong. Go there, chapter 9, verse 43. If your hand causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life crippled than having your two hands to go into hell, into the unquenchable fire, where their worm does not die and their fire is not quenched. If your foot causes you to stumble, cut it off. It is better for you to enter life lame than having your two feet to be cast into hell, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. If your eyes cause you to stumble, throw it out. It is better for you to enter the kingdom of God with one eye than having two eyes to be cast into hell, where their worm does not die and the fire is not quenched. What is God saying? Obviously, you cannot take this literally. Because if we take it literally, we will not have any hands or feet or nothing. Because you know, you sin. But what is he saying? What's the focus? Anything that hinders you to go closer to God, you gotta get rid of it. This is very serious, you guys. If anything that hinders for you to love God, you gotta get rid of it. No, it's not okay. To love something more than God. All that hinders us from following Jesus. It's not helpful. Chapter 10, verse 29, Jesus says, "Truly I say to you, there is no one who has left house or brothers or sisters or mother or father or children or farms for my sake and for the gospel's sake, but that he will receive 100 times as much now in the present age, houses and brothers and sisters and mothers and children and farms, along with persecution, and in the age to come, eternal life." Verse 31, "But many who are first will be last, and the last first." Chapter 10, verse 44, "And whoever wishes to be first among you shall be slave of all." Verse 45, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." Do you see it? It's all about living the very life that Jesus has lived. He came to serve. Even though he is the first, he lived as a last so that he will witness that he is indeed the first. Do you see it? Put it all together. The rich young ruler. In the world, he's the first. Children in the world, they are last. But look at what happens. The last becomes the first. The first becomes the last. You really need to understand this. World might treat you as the first. Very successful, very well-to-do. You might be the last when it comes to Jesus Christ. Following Jesus Christ is not that easy. But it is worth it. That's what we're talking about. We're not saying following Jesus is easy. But the question is it worth it? Is it worth your sufferings and the persecutions that you might face? Is it worth it to lose everything you have in this world just to gain Jesus Christ? No, don't ever try to have both the world and heaven. That just doesn't work. It doesn't work. That is not God's way. You cannot serve two masters. There's only one master you must serve. It's either God or the money. Matthew, in the Sermon on the Mount. Like Paul, losing everything, even our lives, to gain Jesus Christ. Rather, I should say, willing to lose everything because we have Jesus Christ. We consider all rubbish. No, we are not talking about doing all these things to earn salvation. The question is this, brothers and sisters. Are you completely satisfied in Jesus and Him alone? Do you love heaven or do you love this world? Which one do you love more? That's the question. And your life will show it. You cannot fake this. If you love this world more than heaven, that's how you're going to live. That's just how it is. Where your heart is, that's where you are. But don't be foolish, brothers and sisters. Don't be deceived, thinking that this world has more to offer to you than heaven. Yes, this world and Satan will always to tempt you to see it that way. But that is not true. You must resist. Are you completely satisfied in Jesus and Him alone? Or you just have to have the world? Can you forsake it because you have Jesus? I know, brothers and sisters, this kind of teaching, it's just not going to go well with the world. And even if we're the last church to continue to preach this way, that's how it's going to be. But this is what the God, what our God says. And actually, if you are His sons, these kind of words will be pleasing in your ears. Look at this young rich ruler. He went home sad. Is that how it is with you? When you come to church and hear the gospel, you go home sad? You go home grieving. You go home because you're frustrated. It's sad. Now what am I going to do? Because I don't want to forsake the world. No way. But I'm scared. I'm fearful. Are you just like this young ruler? You're going to go home sad because God says this to you? Go sell all your possessions and give it to poor? Are you sad because God tells you to do that? The rich young ruler went home sad because he could not give up this world. No, Jesus is not telling all of us to go out and sell everything to give them to poor. But the fact still remains, you must be able to do that. You must be able to do that. If it is to gain Christ, if it is to gain Jesus Christ and His kingdom, if it is God's will for me, then you and I, we are willing to give up everything, my wealth, my family, my life. Which one attracts you more, brothers and sisters in Jesus Christ, the wealth of this world or wealth of heaven? Which one is more precious to you? And you have to really, honestly answer this question in your heart. Look at how you live. It clearly shows what is more precious to you. You have to be like a child. Completely trusting Jesus Christ. Trusting Him to take care of you. So you entrust everything to Him. And your job is to obey. To follow Him. Matthew chapter 19 verse 21. If you wish to be complete, go and sell your possessions and give to the poor, and you will have treasure in heaven. And come, follow me. Do you remember the parable of sower? I told you already, you know, why they are unfruitful? Because they worry about the world. And that is this rich young ruler. Jesus says the same thing to you also. But you're different than this young rich ruler. We're actually grateful and thankful that God invites us to live the life of our Lord Jesus Christ. It is our honor to do so, but just like the father of a young child who was possessed by evil spirit, I do believe, but help my unbelief. It's one thing to be unwilling and be sad, but it's completely another thing to be willing, but that you're weak and you're going to fail. It's not the same thing. I pray to God, brothers and sisters, that you will be willing. But because your faith is weak, you might fail. And you will fail. But don't reject right up front saying, no, I can't do that. That's different. That is really different. No, we're not talking about you being perfect. That is not what we're talking about. I know we're going to fail. I'm just like you. But are we willing, at least? That's the start. Are we willing? Yes, we are. And we'll try. We'll give our best. But you must depend on Christ and Him alone. Here's God's promise, Philippians chapter 1, verse 6, for I am confident of this very thing, that he who began a good work in you will perfect it until the day of Christ Jesus. Brothers and sisters, Jesus and his kingdom, God's gift to us, God's gift to his people, we do receive it like a child. And when we do, God receives us as if we live a life of perfect obedience. In Jesus Christ, we're able. Yes, by grace, we have been saved, and by grace, we will follow Jesus Christ, and by grace, we will enter heaven and live with God forever and ever. He says to us, come after me. Come follow me. We have not done anything to deserve heaven, not even to follow him. All we did is sin, but in Jesus Christ, God gives eternal life as a gift, and we do receive it with joy and with faith. But this faith is not dead faith. Faith without work is dead, God says. So we must understand this faith, that true faith that God gives, it will produce fruits. Don't be like this rich young ruler. But be willing. Even if you will fail, but be willing. And trust him to lead your way. He will not forsake you. He will finish his work in you. You just need to trust him and believe. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we thank you. We thank you for your grace upon your people. We thank you that you invite us to live the very life that our Lord has lived for us. What an honor for us to live this glorious life in Jesus Christ. Oh, Father, we pray that you will continue to work in us, increase our faith, so that we may grow to the fullness of our Lord Jesus Christ. Forgive our sins. Let us not be like this young ruler. But let us be willing. Even though our willingness is weak, by your grace, Let us be willing to follow our Lord Jesus Christ. We thank you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.